Luke chapter 8 and verse number 22 through verse 25. Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went up into a ship with his disciples. And he said unto them, let us go over unto the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. But as they sailed, he fell asleep. And there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he rose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said unto them, where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, what manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and water, and they obey him. Where is your faith? Smooth sailing does not reveal true faith. The Bible is on record that true faith is exposed in difficult circumstances. Had it not been God challenging Abraham when he asked him to give his only son Isaac as a sacrifice, the one that he had waited some 25 years to receive, challenged him to offer him as a sacrifice. And Abraham moved when God told him to go. And when he was about to slay his son, an angel of the Lord said, lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do anything unto him, for I know that thou fearest God. It was in the midst of adversity that Abraham revealed that he trusted Almighty God. Joseph recognized his hardships that he suffered by his brothers and in the prison and even in the palace. Was God using those circumstances to bring about the ultimate good? He says, for as for you, he told his brothers, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to save much people alive. Even Moses, as he led the children of Israel in the wilderness some 40 years, he revealed to them in Deuteronomy chapter 8, thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know. And he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. The way I'm going to build your faith is I'm going to make hunger pains come into your stomach so that you will know that man does not live by bread alone. He lives by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And it's only through adversity and hardships and difficulties that we discover where our faith is. Challenges uncover the true source and object of our faith. It's like the man who was walking the tightrope and had the wheelbarrow. I know you heard this before because it's a preacher's story. And he walked across that Niagara Falls with that on that tightrope, carrying the wheelbarrow. And everybody was in amazement, and they applauded him, and they lauded him because of his ability. And then the man said, "You know I can take this wheelbarrow across on this tightrope." And they said, "Yes, we know you can." And then he finally asked somebody, "Will you get in and let me take you across?" See, it's all right to watch the man walk on the tightrope until it's our turn to get in the wheelbarrow. And Jesus here discussed, demonstrated faith with his disciples. When you look in Luke chapter 6, at the close, he says, "Why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built a house and dig deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood rose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock." He says, you want to know what faith is? It's about doing what you hear me say do. Then he would come across the centurion. And the centurion had a servant who was sick and near death. And the servant said, "I'm not even worthy for you to come to my house, but just speak the word, because I'm a man under authority, and I tell a person do this and they do it. All you need to do is speak the word." And Jesus, upon hearing that, said, "I haven't seen such great faith, not even in Israel." Saw a woman mourning the death of her son until Jesus came by, and he told the young man to rise, and he got up and went on his way. He says, "I want you to see demonstrations of faith." Then he told his disciples about a parable about the seed of the sower, showing how that his word is the seed that brings forth and produces the impact on man's heart. Then he would go and tell them, they came to Jesus and they said, "Your family is out here and they want to see you." And Jesus said, "Those who are my family are those who hear the word of God and do it." And then in this particular text, it is now time for the disciples to get in the wheelbarrow, to go from hearing and seeing to testing and experiencing. The test would be administered in a boat on the Sea of Galilee. It was a one-question exam administered by the master teacher, Jesus, the Son of God. In the midst of the Sea of Galilee, they had experienced the raging sea, and now they hear Jesus say, rebuke the winds and the waves. In Mark, he says, peace, be still. And then the question comes to them on a calm sea, where is your faith? They have been toiling, and now the Bible says they were even afraid and wondering. And I just hear that question is still a valid and relevant question for every disciple. It's a question for us tonight. Where is your faith? And I think there are at least four options where one can place their faith. And if this test is being given to you tonight, on the scantron of your mind, I want you to bubble in your answer as we look at where your faith is. First of all, I believe that there is the material option. He says it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples. Here Jesus and his disciples use a ship to travel. I don't believe Jesus or his disciples would have boarded a ship that was not seaworthy. In other words, the ship that he was on was able to accomplish the task for which they were in the ship. In other words, he gets into a boat that has the buoyancy, that has the ability to float and to go onto the other side. And as long as the ship sailed smoothly, they trusted in the ship. But when the sea became tumultuous and turbulent and filled with water, their faith dissipated in the integrity of the ship. All I'm saying to us is that sometimes the material option is the option that we choose as long as the ship is sailing smoothly. As long as I'm on that plane and the plane is going smoothly, I feel all right. But just as soon as turbulence hits, come on, you all know you go into another zone of prayer and supplication to God. We have been blessed with so many material blessings. I pray we never let the material distract us from the eternal. You might be able to go 2 months without wearing the same suit twice, but what happens when you gain a little weight and your selection goes from 8 to 3? Is your faith still intact, or does your church attendance reflect the amounts of suits you have? Is your faith tied to your car? Can't make it because I don't have one. Oh, I was tested. Can I just go ahead and make my confession that I was tested? You know, I got a little piece of new car. And you know, just as soon as you get a little piece of new car, something happens to test my faith. At the red light and somebody hits me in the new car. The one you spend time shining and cleaning So, you know, you get out the car to see what happened. And you got to make a decision. Who's getting out of this car? Is it John from East Oakland? Or is it the one from Greenville Avenue? Because we put a lot of interest in our material things. And I had to realize God blessed me with it. I may be a little upset about having to go get it fixed so quickly, but I saw that man in his car, and you know, whenever you get hit, the car that hits you doesn't look like your car. He had his hoopty. He said, I don't know what happened. He's back there sweating. He didn't have any air condition. And I said, it ain't been too long since I stopped rolling in my hoopty. And I know what it's like to have no air condition. And see, we need to make sure that we always put the material in the right perspective. Don't put so much trust in the material that we forget about that which is eternal. These disciples had put so much faith in that boat to get them to the other side that when they realized they could not get to the other side, they became afraid. But then there's another option that you can choose on this exam. And that's the human option. The experience and expertise of individuals that were on the boat. You got to realize that there are at least four fishermen. Peter, Andrew, James, and John. It may have even been more. And they were familiar with the Sea of Galilee. They worked that sea. And so they had the experience and expertise. They're familiar with how to sail. Then there's human effort. I just got to imagine that 12 men on a boat going through a rough storm probably did all they could within their power to combat their conditions before they woke up Jesus. I just believe, and I'm just looking at it from experience, that men will try to do everything possible before, if men will do everything possible before they start asking for directions. I just believe those 12 men on that boat were talking to one another, saying to each other, you've been on this sea before. What have you done in times past when you come across a storm? And they're talking to one another saying, I never come across a storm this strong, but I know what we used to do. Sometimes faith has been tied into our ability or the ability of others. And we got to be careful about putting our confidence in man. The psalmist says it's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in men. Paul looked at his resume in Philippians 3 and he looked at all of his accomplishments, all of his achievements, all of his pedigree, his heritage, his genealogical legacy. He said, All of that pale in comparison to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. When we look at all of our efforts, as it was mentioned in the prayer, all of our righteousness is as filthy rags. I know you've accomplished a lot and you ought to be proud of what you did, but every now and then your degree will fail you in times of adversity. Challenges come and things change year to year, month to month, day to day, minute by minute. Everybody gets caught up in all of these social media, trusting what they see and talking about that's the kind of lifestyle I want to live. Oh, don't you know that all of that is fake and phony? You can't get caught up in the Kardashians. You will find that when you put your trust in people, they will let you down. So those men, although they had the expertise, they had the experience, they had the know-how, they still were unable to fix their situation. Then there's another option. There's the circumstantial option. See, circumstances has to do with what is surrounding us. The disciples were surrounded by wind and waves, a threatening storm that came upon them suddenly. Their boat was filling. They were in jeopardy. The circumstances were beyond their control. When you think about so many circumstances in our lives may be beyond our control. The waves on the sea were beyond their control. We have so many natural disasters and hurricanes and tornadoes and floods and thunderstorms, things that are outside of our control. And I will admit to you that circumstances can be overwhelming. And our faith can get fixed on our situations. Death comes to us and we are fixated on death. Sickness comes and it throws you for a loop. Divorce papers are given to you and it knocks you down. And you realize that you cannot control the circumstances, but your mind is focused on the circumstances. That's the time when you really need to look for a divine option. Because you see, materials are unreliable. Man is inconsistent. Circumstances are unpredictable. But when you look at the divine option, the divine option reminds us that it was Jesus who said, "Let's go over to the other side." It was not Peter. It was not Bartholomew. Jesus said, "Let's go over to the other side." And what they thought was a suggestion or a recommendation should have been taken as a declaration, a notification, and a directive. We are going to the other side. See, and what Jesus is showing them is that when I say something, what I say cannot be altered by circumstances. It cannot be altered by your human experiences. It will not be altered by your material resources. When I say, let's go over to the other side, I meant that we were going over to the other side. See, but I give them some credit that when things got beyond them, they woke Jesus up. They went to a divine source. They went to the presence of Jesus. But Jesus is testing them and trying to get them to trust in the word of Jesus. When he got up, he rebuked the winds and commanded the waves. And I know so many times we spiritualize this and we say that Jesus can speak to the winds and the waves in our lives. But I want you to see that Jesus spoke to the literal waves and winds. He is showing that he is sovereign over nature. I am sovereign over circumstances. I am sovereign over people. When I give my word, there is no circumstances, no person, no material that can stop what I say. So when I say I will build my church, the very gates of hell will not prevent me. See, when I say to you, I will never leave you or forsake you. No layoff, no policy, no agency will stop me when I tell you what I will do for you. When I tell you that no man can come to the Father but by me, I mean what I say, and I've said what I meant. In other words, you cannot go to another source outside of Jesus. That excludes Moses, David. Come on here. That excludes all of those, Muhammad. No man can come to the Father but by me. And when I tell you I'm coming again to receive you unto myself, where I am, there you may be also. There's no circumstance, no person who can interfere with my word. When I tell you that I'm going to supply all of your needs according to my riches, you can take it to the bank. Jesus is wanting them to see that I have the sovereign power over all of creation. I can exorcise demons. I can bring back the dead. And I can do whatever my word desires that I want it to do. So the question is, where is your faith? Don't let circumstances cloud your view of what God has given you through his word. He will perform it. He will see it through. And the good thing about it is that you and I can rely on it. We can take it to the bank. We can take it to him and say, God, you said you never leave me or forsake. And he said, because you're my child, I'll take care of you. Let me tell you something, that when he says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, there's no way of getting around it. He said it, and we got to trust what he says. God is so good. But all we have to do is examine ourselves. And if you answered anything but a divine option, you can change. That's a good thing about a good test. You can go ahead and erase your answer. And said, I want to start putting my trust in the divine option. And whatever God has said to me, I know that he will perform it. You hear, you're not a child of God. He says that he will save you if you put your faith in him. He says that he will provide a home in heaven for you if you trust in his word. If you're here, you're not a Christian, come tonight believing Jesus Christ to be the Son of God, repenting of your sins, confessing the sweetest name ever uttered on mortal tongue. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and be buried in water for the remission of sin. And you can be added to the family of God, not because I said so, because he said so. If you're here, you're a child of God, but you haven't been living under the divine option, make that decision tonight. As we stand, as we sing, will you come?
26. There's a fountain free, tears for you and me,
and let us
haste,
oh
haste
to the brink. Here's a fountain of love
from the source above. Bids us all freely drink. Will you come to the fountain free? Will you come? 'Tis for you. Thirsty soul, hear the welcome call. 'Tis a fountain